Your word is healing to our whole body. And we receive your word tonight. We open our hearts to it tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 91 tonight. This is our healing service. So we're going to share a message on healing, and then we're going to minister to folks as people need it and as the Spirit of God leads us. Praise God. Psalm 91, verse 14 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Praise God. So God's promise for us in this scripture here in Psalm 91 is long life. God said if a person will set their love upon him and put their trust in him, he promises that with long life, he said, "I'll satisfy him or her and show them my salvation." Praise God. So God's promise is long life. Amen. And it's a promise we ought to lay hold on. Yes. It's a promise that we ought to take hold of. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then verse 2, "Honor your father and mother." Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Yes. So Paul is writing to the New Testament church of Ephesus. So should Christians keep the Ten Commandments? Here's your answer right here. Paul tells us we should certainly keep them right here. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. What does that mean? It means it's the first commandment listed that's got a promise attached to it. And what's that promise? Well, if you honor your father and mother, he said it will be well with you, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So there's a promise of long life given to us if we obey God's commandments, particularly the commandment to honor our father and mother. He said, it'll be well with you if you do that, and you'll live long on the earth. Praise God. So not only living long, but it says that it may be well with you. You know, you sometimes folks linger for years and years and years with sickness and disease. They may be living long, but it's not well with them. God wants you to have well days and long days. Amen. Wellness and long life. So it's God's will that it be well with you, that you be healthy, and that you live long on the earth. Praise God. Exodus 23 talks about that. Exodus 23 and verse 25, it says, "You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness." This is New Living Translation. I love the way that reads. He said, if you serve me, if you worship me, he said, "I'll bless you with food and water." The King James says, "I'll bless your bread and water." I think we can take it both ways, that his blessing will be on what we do eat. This is saying more in terms of he'll provide us with food and water. But it also, other translations say that he blesses what we eat and drink. Praise God. So we want both. Amen. "I'll bless you with food and water," or "I'll bless your bread and water, and I will protect you from illness." Yeah. Glory to God. Do we claim that promise? We ought to. Thank you, Lord, that you protect me from illness. Amen. Yeah. "There'll be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives." Amen. Praise God. That's another great promise of long life. Amen. We know that Moses laid hold of this. He lived a long and healthy life, didn't he? Look at what the scripture says about Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Again, in the New Living, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. He lived to be 120. That's a long life. That's what Kenneth Copeland, you know, people thought he was crazy years ago when he said, you know, I'm believing to live for her. He says that the Lord came to him, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, "I need you to do this for me." Wow. To set an example. Amen. And you look at him, I mean, he's what, 80, is it 87? 87, 88. He's way on up there in his upper 80s, and he looks like he's 60. And and not a gray hair, and just you know, preaches. You know, at one of his meetings recently, I was watching some of it on TV, and you know, he in that one service, I think it was maybe it was the Southwest Believers Convention back in August. And that one day he ministered in the morning service for 2 hours, and then he preached that night for another 2 or 3. He ministered 4 or 5 hours that day. And that's amazing. You know, a lot of folks had wear them out just to go, much less preach it. Amen. For that long. And in his upper 80s. So praise God. So Moses did this. Moses lived to be 120. He was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We know the Bible says Caleb was as strong at 85 as he was at 40. Let's read about Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. And starting in verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" So Joshua is talking, or Caleb is talking to Joshua. You know, they were among the 12 spies that Moses sent in to spy out the land of Canaan. And so they went in along with the other 10, and they were the only ones that came back with a good report, with a true report. We're well able to take the land. The others brought back an evil report, got all the people into doubt and unbelief. And as a result, they couldn't go in and possess, as a nation, they couldn't go in and possess the land for 40 more years. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But God told Caleb and Joshua through Moses that, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to take a while, but you're going to go in. And the promise I have for you in the land is still going to be in effect. And so that's what he's talking to Joshua about here. He said, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." The New Living, which we don't worry about putting it up there, Curtis, but I noted that the New Living said, Caleb says he brought back an honest report, an honest report. You know, speaking what God's word says, despite the circumstances, is an honest report. Amen. He says, "I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years." So it's 45 years later now. He was 40 years old when they first went in. And so now they crossed over when Caleb was 40. So it's been they've been 5 years driving out the inhabitants of the land and possessing the land. And Caleb says, "Okay, I've been fighting here for 5 years. Now it's time for me to take my inheritance," basically. He says, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." Verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me." In other words, I'm just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. "Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day." Praise God. So he says, "I'm 85 years old, but I'm ready to take my mountain." There were giants there. There were enemies there that had to be driven out. And he said, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take it at 85 years old. Amen. Yeah. Now, don't be sitting there thinking, "Well, now, you know, that was back then and people just don't do that." Well, I wonder why people don't do that today. Maybe it's because they've been told and fed and taught all their life. Well, you know, by the time you hear people say, "Well, you know, I'm 50 now and everything's starting to fall apart." How many of you have heard that garbage? Well, let's don't repeat it. Amen. Don't take it into yourself. Don't say it. Amen. Moses was 120, and he said his strength, he was just as strong as ever, it says. He was as strong as ever. His eyesight was clear. 85, Caleb says, I'm ready to take the mountain. I'm as strong this day as I was 45 years ago when Moses sent us in here. So praise God. So let's claim those promises. Amen. Let's believe God for that. Praise God. So I want to ask you this question, too, as we're talking about long life. You know, sometimes someone dies early in life and you hear people say this. You say, well, you know, the Lord must have needed them. They get really weird and goofy when they say, well, the Lord needed another angel in heaven. You don't become an angel when you die and go to heaven. I know, you know, we get that from the movie It's a Wonderful Life, but, you know, that's a nice Christmas movie, but it's not truth. Amen. And so, no, the Lord didn't need another angel, and the Lord didn't need you in heaven. You know, most of the time, I would say when folks go early, the Lord probably says, what are you doing here? Amen. Now, of course, he loves us, and you know, he welcomes them in. But a lot of time when people go way early, well, what are you doing here? You're here way too soon. Amen. So does he need you? Does the Lord need you in heaven? Or does he need you here on the earth? Well, Psalm 116, verse 15, this is out of the Common English Bible. It says, the death of the Lord's faithful is a costly loss in his eyes. Well, when one of his faithful one dies, they're not lost to the Lord. They're with him. Paul says to depart and be with Christ, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. The death of the Lord's faithful is a costly loss in his eyes. A loss where? A loss on the earth. God counts it as a loss on the earth. There's one less individual on the earth that can influence people for God. There's one less individual on the earth that can witness for the Lord. There's one less individual on the earth that can exercise their authority over the devil. You won't need to exercise your authority over the devil in heaven. He's not there. You won't need to witness to folks in heaven. They're all saved. Right? Where are we needed? We're needed down here. We're needed down here. Amen? Praise God. So he needs us on the earth. Praise God. Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks about this, of course. You know this passage. In Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. From our standpoint, when we die, we're gaining, right? We're getting to go to heaven. We're getting to go to glory. So we're gaining, but heaven is losing. Heaven is losing someone. God is losing someone on the earth that can exert godly influence on the earth. We're gaining. Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, it's win-win. I'm in a win-win situation. If I live, I'm living in Christ and for Christ. If I die, I'm gaining. And verse 22 says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Notice who's doing the choosing. Is God choosing? No, who's choosing? Paul is choosing, isn't he? He said, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. In other words, I can't make up. In that moment, as he's writing this, he's reasoning it out. He said, you know, I'm ready to go. To die would be gain. To live is Christ. And he said, I'm hard pressed to decide what I shall choose. I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, he says, which is what? Far better. Yeah. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. The Philippians, the believers here on the earth, he said, you need me to stay. Praise God. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I believe he made the decision as he was writing this out. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain. So he made the decision right there to live, to stay. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. See, Paul said, if I leave right now, then I'm going to leave a void. I'm going to leave something lacking in your lives and in your spiritual walk that I could impart to you, that I could help you with. And so I need to stay. Amen? That's what he's saying. He says, I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. If he went to heaven, he couldn't come be with them again and minister to them and teach them and impart things to them. Praise God. So again, from our standpoint, God needs us to die as gain, but God needs us here on the earth. Amen. So that's why he wants you to live a long life. He wants you to have your maximum. He wants us to have our maximum influence on the earth. Amen. Praise God. You may have heard this story. I've shared it, related it before, where Brother Hagin is one of his church members. The last church that he pastored, he had a church member that worked in the oil field. And he was in an accident and fell into some of the machinery in the oil field. And this was obviously was severely injured, and they thought he was dead when they got him out of there and they laid him down, and they contacted his wife, and she came, Brother Hagin came, and the doctor was there, and the doctor said, looked at Brother Hagin and his wife, and said, well, we thought he was dead. He's still alive, but he can't live. We're afraid to even move him and get him to the hospital. We're afraid it's going to kill him even to try to move him. And, Brother Hagin, you just need to take Mrs. Haynes aside and prepare her. And so he took her aside, all right, and she said, isn't it wonderful that we have inside information and that he's going to live? She was believing God. All right. And so he goes, they get him to the hospital. The doctor says, well, you know, looks like we're going to, looks like we can move him. Let's try to get him. They waited an hour and a half of them just laying there before they got him to the hospital. And so he said, Dr. Garrett said, let's try to get him to the hospital. I didn't think he would live this long. And so he gets to the hospital. And he's been there 2 days. He said, we're facing the third night. And he said, Reverend, the one of the doctors said, Reverend, I'll tell you the truth about it. We don't even know the extent of his injuries because we can't move him. And we don't know how he's lived this long. We do know his left lung is deflated. We don't know what internal injuries he has. And Brother Hagin sends Sister Haynes home because her faith is slipping. She's tired. And so Brother Hagin is there with him through the night praying for him. And so he decided he was going to plead his case. The name of this little book is called Plead Your Case. And he said, I did exactly what God said to do. He said, put me in remembrance. He said, let us plead together. He said, set forth your cause that you may be justified. So I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to let him die. First of all, he's only 49 years old. And a man 49 years old is not old enough to die. I reminded him, you promised us in your word at least 70 or 80 years. Second, he is our Sunday school superintendent. He usually endeavors to visit every absentee himself. He is really the best Sunday school superintendent I've ever had in all the churches I've pastored. There's not another man like-minded in our church. This isn't my church, it's your church, Lord. I'm the under-shepherd, but you are the great shepherd. What I need, you need. I need him. Third, he's my deacon. He always stands solidly with me, and all the other men follow him. I need him. If I need him, you need him. Fourth, he has influence for good in our town. The businessmen and practically everyone in the city have more confidence in him than in all the rest of the men put together. I need him. Fifth, he gives 30% of his income to the church. If we lose that, we will be almost bankrupt. I know you can meet every need, but your way of meeting needs are through men. God's not going to rain money down out of heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. So I said, this is not my church. We are the body of Christ. You are the head. What the body needs, the head needs. Lord, we need him. The church needs him. And so I'm not going to let him die. Besides that, death is an enemy. It is of the devil. Death is an enemy. It is not of God. Death is the last enemy that should be put underfoot. The Bible says, however, God has taken the sting out of death for us. I said, I rebuke death, and I command it to leave his body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so he went back, and he fell off to sleep, he said, and he woke up, and he thought, oh my goodness, he's dying. He got up and went through the same procedure again, pleading his case, saying, Lord, we need him down here. If I need him, you need him. And, you know, after he did that the third time, the doctors examined him. By that time, it was morning, and they said, you know, they checked him. They said, you know, he's come out of it. He just might make it. Well, in fact, he did make it. He got back to church, and you know the story about how he got back to church, and he testified, and he said, you know, he said, I think I died. He said, I went up to heaven. He said, I saw Jesus. He said, I heard the angels singing. He said, oh, such singing that you've never heard. And I saw Jesus, and I was walking up to him. I was about to kneel down and tell him how much I loved him. And he pointed his finger at me and said, you're going to have to go back. He said, I don't want to go back. He said, you're going to have to go back. Brother Haynes said, I don't want to go back. And Jesus said a third time, you're going to have to go back. And he said, like he pulled back a curtain, and he pulled it back. And when he pulled that curtain back, Brother Haynes said, I could see Brother Hagin down on the earth saying, Lord, I'm not going to let him die. He said, see, Brother Hagin's not going to let you die. You're going to have to go back. And of course, he did come back and lived out his full length of days. And as I've said to you as well, Beverly Rackley, one of the missionaries that we supported, her husband James, who's going on to be with the Lord now, and Beverly was a little girl in that church at the time, and knew this man, knew his story, and knew his life, and knew him personally. So praise God. So the Lord needed him. Brother Hagin said, I need him down here, and what I need, Lord, you need. Amen. So God needs us down here. Amen. He needs us to live a long life. And somebody said, well, but Pastor, don't you know the Bible says we've got an appointed time to die. And when your time comes, I mean, you're just going to die. There's nothing you can do about that. Well, does the Bible say that? Well, some people think it does, but let's look at it. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The appointment is this. You're going, should Jesus tarry, you're going to die. Don't, you know, no reincarnation here. You're going to die once. Not going to come back as a cow, you know, or something else. You're going to die once, but after this, the judgment, everybody, it's appointed to people that we're going to die physically, all right? But you and I can set the appointment. You know, when I go to the dentist, you know, and they get through cleaning my teeth, they say, okay, we'll go ahead and set your appointment for the next, you know, in 6 months out for your next appointment. And they say, when would you like to come? So I get to set the appointment. No, that day won't work for me. Okay, yeah, that day will. This time will work. I get to set the appointment. I get to choose. So you get to set the appointment. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So what are we going to have to do? I'm going to give us four things here for long life, to ensure that we live long life. Number one, learn to talk right. Learn to talk right. Don't talk death. Don't talk death. 1 Peter 3:10. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy, look at this, it's a new living. 1 Peter 3:10. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Praise God. I'm not talking about episodes of Happy Days with Ron Howard. Some of you remember that, some don't. But if you want to enjoy life and see many happy... How many want to enjoy life and see many happy days? That sounds great, doesn't it? We can have that. You can enjoy life and you can see not few, but many happy days. A long life. He said, if you want to do that, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, we think of cussing and we think of deliberately telling a falsehood, you know, to deceive someone. But, you know, the Bible in Hebrews, it calls unbelief evil. Beware, Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. the children of Israel, when they, as we talked about earlier with Joshua and Caleb, those 10 spies, the Bible says they brought back an evil report. We are not able to go in. So speaking evil, stay there. Oh, good. Thank you, Curtis. See, there it is. Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's go back to 1 Peter again. He says, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Lies would be anything contrary to the truth of God's word. God's word says you're healed. Yeah, but I don't feel healed. You know, I've got this condition and I've got that condition. And you talk about, you know, speaking that instead of saying what God's word says. So if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, let's learn to talk right. Amen. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in God's hands, and there's nothing we can do about it. He's going to, whenever it's your time, you're going to go. No. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love life and you speak life, you'll eat the fruit of life. Amen. There was and I think I've told this story before. There's someone that I knew of, didn't know him personally, but I knew of him, knew who he was. And I didn't really get the background of the whole story till after the fact, but this was a man that was in our church when I was in Tulsa, when I was at Rhema, and the report came that he was in the hospital. He was very sick, and we just had there was a lady that was just weeks before that was at death's door. Linda Asbury was her name. And the church had prayed for her, and she was miraculously healed and raised up. And so now, just a few weeks later, there's another guy in the church, a gentleman in the church, and he is very sick and at death's door. And so the church gathered and prayed for him. I remember we had special nights where we'd come and pray for him and pray for his healing. And he ended up dying. He wasn't healed. He didn't receive his healing. He ended up dying. And I never knew the story until sometime later, where Brother Hagin related. And Brother Hagin didn't mention his name, but I knew it was the same person. And he said, we had a young man. He said he worked for a while for the ministry here, and he fell ill. And the family called me and asked me to go to the hospital and see him and pray for him. And he said, so I did. He said, I went to the hospital to pray for him. I laid hands on him and started to pray. And he said, and the Lord spoke this to me. He said, spiritual laws have been set in motion that cannot be reversed at this time. And so he said, you know, he didn't understand all of what that meant, but he knew that he wasn't making connection. He knew that the Spirit of God wasn't connecting with him to pray for the man's healing. And the Lord had told him, why not? Spiritual laws have been set in motion long ago, and they cannot be reversed at this time. So again, the man ended up passing, and I don't know if it was at the funeral or sometime later. He was talking with the family, and his brother said, you know, he said, my brother, Brother Hagin said, you know, he said, I don't understand exactly why he didn't receive his healing. All I know is what the Lord said to me. And he said, when I went to pray for him, the Lord said, spiritual laws have been set in motion long ago that cannot be reversed at this time. And his brother said, Brother Hagin, I know exactly what that is. He said, when we were just teenagers, he said, Jim, the man that died, his name was Jim. He said, Jim got real serious one day, and he said, you know, he told his brother, he said, I'm not going to live past the age of 40. And he said, from the time he was a teenager, he always said that. He always said, I'm not going to live past the age of 40. Well, after he turned 39 is when he fell ill, and he didn't live to see 40. That's what the Lord was talking about. He, by the words of his mouth, I'll not live to see 40. I'll not live to see 40. Those spiritual laws were set in motion, and they couldn't be reversed. He'd said it, and that's one thing if you say it one time, but he said he would say it over and over. He said he always maintained that. I'll not live past the age of 40. And so, you know, is that God's will that he die young? No, he set that spiritual law into motion himself. And so we can set those laws into motion negatively or positively. Amen. We can say, with long life, He satisfies me and shows me His salvation. I'm going to live a long life. Amen? How about you? Praise God. So learn to talk right. And then number two, honor your parents. Now, I would, most of us in this crowd, except for Curtis, maybe, most folks, though, our parents have gone on to be with the Lord already. All right. And so I would dare say that everybody in here, you probably did that. So if you did that, doesn't mean you were perfect. But if you honored your parents, you can claim this promise. Amen. Claim it. Lord, I did my best to honor my father and my mother. And you said if I would do that, that it would be well with me and I'd live long on the earth. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So claim that promise. And then number three, live by God's word. Live by God's word. Proverbs 3:1. It says, Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. We can do things to add to our days. One of them is listed here. If we hold to God's word, if we live by the word of God, if we keep God's word and obey God's word in every area of our life, and again, that doesn't mean that you're perfect and you won't miss it, but you endeavor to live by the word of God and follow the word of God, that you ask the question in any situation, what does the word say? How does the word say I'm supposed to respond in this situation? What does the word say I'm supposed to do in this? If you endeavor to live your life that way, the Bible says here that length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Praise God. God's word will add that to you. Proverbs 3:16. Long life, and this is God's word translation, long life is in wisdom's right hand. In wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. Praise God. And wisdom is the word of God. God's word is His wisdom. Long life is in wisdom's right hand. In wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. We can have all of that. Amen? We can have long life. Praise God. And then finally, number four, make the Lord your refuge. Make the Lord your refuge. Psalm 91, again, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Do you do that? We should. We should say of the Lord. We should say, Lord, You are my refuge. You're my fortress. You're my God. In You I trust. Praise God. And then he goes, we'll skip down to verse 7. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. How can that be? Verse 9, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Well, how do you do that? Well, back what he says there in verse 2, he said, I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge. When you say of the Lord, He's your refuge, that's how you make Him your refuge. Praise God. And he says, because you've made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, he tells us in verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So we make the Lord our refuge when we say, He's my refuge. The same is true for healing. We make the Lord our healer when we say, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my physician. Praise God. We make the Lord our long life provider when we say, the Lord satisfies me with long life and shows me His salvation. Amen. No evil, again, back to verse 10, no evil shall befall you because you've made the Lord your refuge and your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, again, where we started tonight, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. So it's God's will that you have long life. Amen. It's God. We need you here. We need you on this earth. Amen. God needs you on this earth. Amen. Praise God. You're not just taking up space. You're an influence for righteousness. An influence for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let me just read. I didn't have it in my notes, but I want to, if I think I can, I think I can find it. I think it's Psalm 92. Curtis might be able to get it up here. Psalm 92, 12. This just fits in so well with this. I can't pass this up. Psalm 92, 12 through 15, if you can find it, Curtis, and get it up. There we go. You got it already. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, not withered up and dried up, amen, but fresh and flourishing, bearing fruit in old age, to declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Amen. Praise God. So, if anybody needs healing, needs to receive healing tonight, let's get rid of the sickness that's keeping you from experiencing long life and happy days. Because God wants you to have long life. He wants you to have happy days. Amen.